When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday, Duran Duran, chosen by you, the people. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Get back to phone calls here in due time. But college football playoffs start tonight, 8 o'clock, Hoosiers at the Fighting Irish. Going to be cold as you know what there. And you can hear the game on The Fan, and here to preview that and more from CBSSports.com. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Chip Patterson. Chip, good morning. What is up?
How are we doing? It's good to be back with you.
We're doing all right. And, you know, I can't wait to talk college hoops with you at the appropriate time. But let's get to, first of all, for tonight's game and the weekend. Heisman Trophy, Travis Hunter. Cool with that. And then teams left out, air quotes, of this 12-team field. Do you have a problem with omissions? Or are you fine with the teams that are participating and competing for the national championship?
No, I am A-okay with the teams. I'll get that out of the way first because that's easy. I'll tell you, I did not think that's what the committee would do, but it's what I would have done if I was on the committee. Because I think that games have to matter. The closer we get to talking about hypothetical matchups, you know, Boo Corrigan had the line on the committee chair last year saying, you know, we talked a lot in the room about who would you not want to play. You know, you've got Nick Saban talking about hypothetical point spreads in Vegas. Get that out of here, because this is a championship that, for as long as the sport has been around, has come down to earning it, has come down to winning it on the field. And so when the decision was made to keep SMU in, to leave Alabama out, I am comfortable with that. And I'm also no real qualms with the Heisman Trophy. I'm honored to be a voter. My ballot was number one, Travis Hunter, because I just think that we have not seen anything like Travis Hunter. I wasn't all the way in on some of the other ways that he dominated the other awards on the award circuit, but all they asked for the Heisman Trophy is the most outstanding player in college football. Nothing stood out more to me than watching what Hunter was able to do, playing at an All-American level on both sides of the ball. Number two on my ballot was Ashton Jeanty. And honestly, I wish we could go take Chris Winkie's Heisman Trophy away from him and give it to Jeanty. You know, it felt like one of those years where you just wish you had two Heisman Trophies to be able to give out. And then number three on my ballot was Cam Scataboo. I was a little bit disappointed he didn't end up making it to as a finalist. I was not surprised that he was sort of that next guy up. No problems, though, with the Cam Ward, no problems with Dylan Gabriel or even Army quarterback Bryson Daly. I just thought that, you know, Arizona State's offense even took some injuries down the stretch, and Cam put the team on his back, the program on his back, leading a group from worst to first to make the college football playoff. I thought that that was why I ended up drifting towards him late in the process. So, no real issues there. Would have liked to see the Arizona State running back as a finalist, but and nothing I'm going to get too upset over.
All right, Chip, before we get the picks for this weekend, Indiana playing tonight. This was a team that had a dreadful 2023. Obviously, we're in a College Park area, more Baltimore, obviously, but we're the flagship home of the Terps. And, you know, I've been telling Vinny about for years because I'm 59. I turned 60 in 3 weeks. Closest Maryland came to snipping a national championship in football was when I was 11 years old, 1976. They wound up losing to Houston in the Cotton Bowl. We're not here to get anywhere near that. But is Indiana kind of like, here's the model, Maryland, what they're doing this year, advantageous schedule, portal success. Hey, who knows? Maybe next year this could be you.
I think that there is a little bit of something special that is tough to replicate because I don't think that you are going to get the unique combination that Kurt Cignetti provides. And the reason why college football coaches get fired all the time is because you're trying to go look for that Nick Saban. You're trying to go look for that Dan Lanning. You're trying to go look for that Kurt Cignetti. And the reason why I say that is the man's been coaching for like 40 years. And yet he is still able to communicate a message to the modern college football player. You know, that Indiana team is so well coached. They don't beat themselves. They do all the tiny things right. And that has been enough not just to beat most of the teams on their schedule, but to absolutely pummel them. I mean, this is a group that, you know, you pull them all together from all different walks of earth. I mean, we've seen the portal, like the transfer portal team down in Tallahassee, the one that was top 10 at the beginning of the season and finished with 10 losses. Like, you just don't get that kind of success with a portal team just add water. I think Kurt Cignetti's special. And so I think it is very tough to replicate and expect those same kind of stories of success. And then, you know, you're going to have it local with Maryland. I'll bring it local to North Carolina. Just because you're throwing money around and just because you hire Bill Belichick does not mean that you're going to be able to get those championships that you desire. Texas A&M spends as much money as anybody in the world, and they haven't won a conference title since 98, and they haven't won a national championship in the lifetime of many of their Texas A&M fans. So, yeah, it's easy to say we can just go replicate that, but I think there really is something that is not easily copied when it comes to Kurt Cignetti as an individual head coach and what he's been able to instill at Indiana.
You know what, Chip, that's a good point because, you know what, if North Carolina would have invested, you know, for Mac Brown, I mean, he was getting $2 million in NIL money. That's it. You know, and this past year's recruits, not a one got any NIL money. Now Belichick's getting $20 million. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, and look, the Mac Brown was making $5 million. Bill Belichick's making $10 million. You've got more money invested in the staff. An NIL budget of about $4 million jumps up to $20 million, as you mentioned. But and it's just having the money doesn't mean you're going to accomplish everything. I mean, Ole Miss spent as much as anybody around. You know, there's a lot of examples of being able to raise your floor to where you're going to be pretty solid, but you need to have a good mix. And that's where I think that, honestly, Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks are the example because they have elite high school recruiting that is being paired with elite transfer portal additions. And I think that you need that core of guys that you identify early that come up in the program, that they are your leadership when times get tough. When you're on the road at Wisconsin and jump around's going and your undefeated season is on the line, like it is guys that were a part of that Oregon team, not just Dylan Gabriel, but guys that had been there that were able to step up with the big plays. And so to me, that is the way you play it. It's like, you know, I know Dabo's all of a sudden hitting up the portal. Now we should all be scared. But no, you can't go all the way not portal and rely on high school recruiting. And you can't go all the way to portal and totally avoid high school recruiting. It's that blend where I think it's a sweet spot.
Hey, Chip, if there was to be an upset this weekend, who would get upset?
Tennessee over Ohio State or Clemson over Texas.
Really?
And, yeah, so the first one, Tennessee over Ohio State, would obviously be Ohio State playing down to the competition. Ohio State's better than Tennessee. Ohio State's got more talent than Tennessee. Ohio State has been probably the better team. But, I mean, they were also better than Michigan, right? You know, they were also way better than Nebraska. And that game came all the way down to the very end. It has been a Buckeyes team that has underperformed often throughout this season. And I think that for Texas, I just wonder if those red zone woes really bite them. You know, they had three trips to the red zone in the SEC title game against Georgia. They came out with two field goals. So, like, I mean, I'm not good at math, but let's do that. Their maximum points gained on three red zone trips is 21. They walked out with 6 points, and you lost that game in overtime by a field goal? Like, that's how you lose. Like, that is how you lose games against good teams, is not being able to capitalize on the opportunities that your good football gets you. I think Texas has that's been an issue for them all season long. And then for the Ohio State thing, it would just be gripping it too tight. Maybe the offensive line injury issues, but those are the two spots where I've got it on upset alert. I like Penn State to cruise. And look, I think if Indiana beats Notre Dame, I don't think it's going to be a massive upset, even though it's got a similar, you know, touchdown, 6.5, 7.5 point spread. I think that that game tonight is going to be one of the best played games of the entire first round. Both teams are really well coached. Both teams are really experienced. Everyone's going to be ready for the moment, and it's just going to come down to who makes the plays.
Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. Tell us about the podcast there, Chip, because a lot of people are fans of it, including me.
Yeah, and we are going to be live after the conclusion of both Friday and Saturday night games. So instant reaction show if you want to come and watch it when the game's over, youtube.com/cover3. Or, of course, you can check it out later on YouTube or listen to it wherever you get your podcast. So we got a show Friday. We got a show Saturday. We'll come back with even more on Monday. And then after the holiday, go ahead and start getting you set for even more bowl games and the quarterfinals ahead.
Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. Appreciate it as always. Merry Christmas. Happy holiday, Chip, to you and the family. And we'll talk to you next year.
Right back at you. Y'all be well.
There's Chip Patterson, everybody. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. It is the whip around. What happened in the world of sports last night? We'll get into that. And then we got Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. We'll talk about the Ravens, Steelers. Ravens, 6.5-point favorites. Is this an appropriate spread with first place on the line?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Time for the whip around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. Duran Duran is chosen by you, the people. We talked about the college football playoffs tonight, Indiana against Notre Dame. We've actually got bowl games coming up within the next 40 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not crazy significant, but it's football nonetheless. A lot of people like watching the old Pigskin, so we'll be watching it along with you. Caps tonight, NHL, they host the Carolina Hurricanes, battle of first and second place teams there, or second and third rather, in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, it'll be a this will be an interesting game. Carolina's a real physical team, and the Caps have lost two in a row. So the Caps need to get back on track. They're rested now. They had a couple days after losing at Chicago. So I think a very tight game. Could be even an overtime game. But hopefully the Caps can pull it out.
Undisputed heavyweight championship tomorrow. Saudi Arabia, Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk rematch from their fight in May in which Usyk took the belts. Fury 34-1-1, taking on Usyk, who was undefeated. They've been talking a lot of trash. Fury said this is the most prepared he's been for a fight in a bazillion years. We'll find out tomorrow. You got to go to the zone to watch it. Unless ESPN throws you a bone with a fight every now and again, you don't have streaming, you ain't watching boxing. So it's pretty much become, unfortunately, because I'll watch it until the day I'm no longer walking around, but it's a niche sport. Not mainstream, not on network TV, HBO, Showtime, they tapped out. So there it is. But it's a big fight, and it should be exciting, and there's a big card, and we'll talk about that on Monday. NBA last night, Wizards take it on Charlotte. Busy night in the association. And the Wizards actually won a game. How about that? 123-114. Jordan Poole, 27 points to lead the way. Bob Carrington, Baltimore, by way of Pitt, 2 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Oklahoma City over Orlando, 105-99. Nolan's boy, how about a day at the office here for SGA? 35 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals. Yeah, we're good. Aaron Wiggins, Maryland, he had 11 points in the win there. Chicago, 117-108. Stunned the Celtics, actually, on the road. Zach LaVine, 36. Jalen Smith, sticks. Mount St. Joe, University of Maryland. Baltimore Kitty at 6 rebounds off the bench. Brooklyn, 101-94 against Toronto. Cam Johnson at 33 for the Nets. Bruno Fernando, Maryland Terrapin.
DMP.
Got to watch the game for free and dress up nicely to do so. Memphis won, but they annihilated Golden State. 144-93. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound, 21 points, 14 rebounds. As Golden State was done, Steph Curry, no field goals last night for the first time in 6 years. Houston, 133-113 over New Orleans. Jalen Green at 34 for the Rockets, who are good. Now, remember, they stunk 2 years ago. They're actually one of the better young teams in the league. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore, Spalding, Villanova. He had 4 points and a board there. Indiana. I think it's Indiana. Yeah. 120-111 over Phoenix. Pascal Siakam at 25-18 for the Pacers. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, DNP coach's decision there. Lakers beat the Kings, 113-100. Kevin Herter, 7 points, 4 boards, 2 assists coming off the bench now. Alex Len had 3 points to him. Alex Len stuff. Remember, Alex Len was a top 5 pick, and he's still getting paid.
Good for him.
Be tall and be useful and That's exactly what he is right now. College hoops. We'll talk more about this. Dave LaMonaco at 12:30. Maryland tomorrow taking on Syracuse. Terps 9-2. Syracuse 5-5. Barclays Center noon. You can hear it on the Fan. Syracuse best player is he's out. J.J. Starling. But the kid from D.C., he's doing all right. Freeman, again, we'll talk about that. Maryland needs to win this game, by the way. No more attaboys. Not that Syracuse is the great teams from past with Jim Boeheim, but it's got to be a win. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is, let's see, the whip around, 1975. Speaking of college hoops, Maryland, third-ranked Terps at Cole Fieldhouse, beat Fordham, 81-56. Steve Shepard, 17. John Lucas, Brad Davis, both at 16. Larry Gibson, Baltimore zone, Dunbar, 14-12. In this state, and I watched this one, not to make it all about me, but it's, you know, one of the advantages going to being old. Cole Fieldhouse, Wednesday night. Maryland, 124-110 over fourth-ranked NC State. Ernie Graham, Baltimore zone, 44 points, 30 of them in the second half. To this day, the all-time single-game scoring record for Maryland. Greg Manning at 25. Greg's son, Greg Jr., now part of Kevin Willard's staff. Down at College Park, Albert King at 16, Larry Gibson at 16. Maryland blows out NC State. 2009 Ravens history, M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens blow out the Chicago Bears, 31-7. Joe Flacco had four touchdown passes, two to Todd Heap, Demetrius Williams, Derek Mason also on the receiving end. We'll go back a year, though. 2008, last game ever. At Texas Stadium, Ravens were expected to be the sacrificial lambs. And NFL Network says no.
McGahee. Willis McGahee.
You got to be kidding me.
Nobody's getting him and no flags on the play. McClain. Ron McClain.
Here we go again.
First down.
Here we go again.
Needs a block. And LaRon McClain's going to go in.
I'm sorry, guys.
Deion Sanders, NFL Network on the call. Ravens beat the Cowboys 33-24. Willis McGahee, 77-yard touchdown. LaRon McClain, he goes 82. Rookie Joe Flacco throws a touchdown to Derek Mason. Nolan, remember, Derek Mason literally played with one arm, separated shoulder, and he was catching balls with one hand. One of the gutty performances you're ever going to see. Matt Stover kicked three field goals. The Ravens on their way to the AFC Championship game. Beat the Cowboys last game ever at Texas Stadium, 33-24. This year's Ravens take it on the Steelers tomorrow, 4:30. M&T Bank Ravens 6.5-point favorites. First place on the line. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner previews next.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere else.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It is Duran Duran, as chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, send a request, Plaza Sport text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Ravens 6.5-point favorites tomorrow. First place on the line in the AFC North, and here to break it down is only he can. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show. He is from the Baltimore Banner, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. What is up?
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Doing all right. Who are we going to be talking about more, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, or Bill Vinovich? Coming up Saturday starting at 4:30.
Was Vinovich the referee?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I mentioned it. I think if George Pickens was playing this one, then I might be inclined to give you guys the dark horse and say Vinovich. But I think it'll probably have to be Lamar, just because I think the Ravens will win this, and I think Lamar will have a good game. And even if he doesn't, then people will be talking about how this is his first win over the Steelers in a long, long time. So. I'm more bullish about what he can do, certainly, than what Russell Wilson can do without George Pickens. Obviously, I asked John Harbaugh yesterday about how much awareness teams have about certain officiating crews, and this isn't a especially flag-happy group, but what Vinovich does is he does throw a lot of pass interference penalties, and we all know that the Ravens are not especially buttoned up with that, but hey, neither is Joey Porter. So maybe that'll all kind of come out in the wash.
Hey, Jonas, they had a walkthrough on Monday. Then on Wednesday, the injury report, there was a long list. How do people get hurt in walkthrough?
I think they got hurt during Wednesday's practice, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Falele, Bate, you know, yeah, there was a lot of guys.
Yeah. Well, there was some not great bookkeeping, I guess, by whoever was responsible for it. I think Falele was hurt during Tuesday's practice, but it didn't show up on the Ravens, like, you know, publicized injury report. It was kind of backdated to Tuesday. So I think maybe he just came out of that game with an injury, or maybe he got tweaked it. But Bateman must have gotten hurt in that Wednesday practice. I mean, that was the only practice this week where the Ravens, it seemed like, were ramping up activity. So I think that explains why Bateman got, you know, showed up on the Wednesday injury report with the foot, because he was fine to start, and then, you know, a day later, unfortunately, he's in a boot.
Now, what from your intel and, you know, being out there all the time and stuff, who do you think's playing Sunday and who's not?
I would imagine that they err on the side of caution with Bateman. You know, I think it was a good sign, certainly, that he's only questionable this one. But, you know, Albert Breer said that they're going to be doing more tests today just to make sure that it is not a severe injury. I really don't think there's a whole lot of guys who wouldn't be able to suit up for this. I mean, Falele seemed to be moving him around pretty well yesterday. You know, I think it's a good sign that Aguilar was at least out there with a trainer on Thursday. I think usually when we see guys get out onto the practice field, even if they're not necessarily practicing, typically that means they're progressing to a point where 2 days later they can suit up. And obviously Nelly will have three more hours to potentially past those league protocols. So I would say that I feel decently good about him, but I don't have a window into his brain. So I think really the only big name that I'm kind of skeptical of is Bateman at this point.
If Tucker's got to kick the winning field goal, what kind of confidence do you have?
Not a whole lot. It's going to be a cold game. It's going to be a game against a team that, you know, he might have a little bit of trauma over, because he went from being basically, you know, Mr. Perfect in Pittsburgh to, of course, being the guy who had to wear a lot of that loss in week 11. So, you know, he hasn't missed a kick since Craven the Hunter came out. I think we should all notice that, but those are 5 extra points. So, you know, he seemed to be kicking the ball pretty well in that game. I know it was just extra points, but at this point, extra points are just kind of long field goals. So I don't have the confidence that I did last year, and I probably shouldn't have had a whole lot of confidence last year because he wasn't kicking long balls especially well. But I guess I'm willing to give him some grace and give him the opportunity to make us all believers again.
Hey, Jonas, Lamar carrying the ball 10 or more times this week. What do you think?
I think probably not. I think because what the Steelers do with their run defense is just they are determined not to let him keep the ball on those read options. So that means they're going to be forcing it to Derrick Henry or to Justice Hill or whoever it is in that backfield. And then, you know, they do such a good job with how they rush the passer with the cage rushes and everything, and how disciplined they are in their blitzes, that they just don't give up a whole lot of scrambles. You know, I think obviously Lamar had some opportunities in that week 11 game to tuck it and run it, but he didn't really feel like it. And I just frankly think we'll probably see a lot more quick game in this one. You know, the Steelers all are vulnerable to quick passes. They're, you know, near the bottom of the league and inefficiency there. I think we'll see more screens. I think we'll see more quick hitters. I think the Ravens realize they can't let, you know, Herbig, Watt, Highsmith, Hayward get into Lamar's lap and knock this passing offense off rhythm. He was not good at all when he was pressured in week 11. So I think the Ravens will probably have some countermeasures planned. And it would surprise me, unless it gets really, really hairy for him in that backfield, if he's toting the rock 10, 11 times.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joining us here at Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on the Window Nation guest hotline. Jonas, last thing for you as we sit here on December 20th. how much do the Ravens miss Patrick Queen? And I know he's kind of downplayed the rematch here, but based on the struggles of Trenton Simpson, and I know the deep edge trending a little bit higher than they were, say, a month ago, but Patrick Queen's absence has meant what for this year's team?
Yeah, I mean, if they were getting 2023 Patrick Queen on this team, then this defense would be close to elite, I think, in its current form. I think the 2024 Patrick Queen that Steelers fans are kind of grousing over would definitely be better than, you know, name your non-Roquan Smith linebacker at this point, but maybe not by a huge margin. But I think they really missed him. I mean, not just that, you know, security and coverage and being where he's supposed to be and getting to the right distance in his drops and everything and just having a better sense of where, you know, you should be in coverage, which Trent Simpson has sorely lacked. But I think they missed him as a blitzer. You know, he was so good, so unselfish, running those pick stunts with, you know, Matabike, with Owe, with Van Noy. And I think the Ravens' dynamism from that second level with their blitz package is clearly lacking. I mean, I think we saw Roquan Smith get home one or two times against the Giants, but he just doesn't have the same kind of explosiveness that PQ does. And I think the Ravens have really struggled to kind of strike fear into the heart of pass protection schemes in the same way because they don't have Patrick Queen back there. So if you were telling me that the Ravens had, like I said, last year's Patrick Queen on this year's team, I feel great about their defense. I think they've definitely patched over some holes there with Malik Harrison and Chris Board, but you know, there still is that memory for me of seeing how bad Malik Harrison got roasted in open space. And if it's like James Cook against Malik Harrison in a divisional round playoff game, I don't like that. I don't like how that would go for the Ravens. So there's still some uncertainty for me there. And I feel like it's going to be there for the rest of the year because I don't think Trent Simpson has a viable path to being an every down starter at this point, in year two.
Yes or no? Ravens cover 6.5. Entertainment purposes only, of course.
Yeah, I have them covering. I just struggled to see a way for the Steelers to score a lot of points. I know it's foolish for me to expect a comfortable Ravens win in a series that's perpetually close, but I just don't like the Steelers offense without George Pickens. I think they're going to be able to run the ball way less effectively than they did in Week 11. I think I have the Ravens like 23-10 in my picks that went up this morning.
What a homer. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Jonas, appreciate the time as always. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and the family. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Jonas.
Appreciate it, guys. Happy holidays to you guys, too.
There he is, Jonas Schaefer. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The fan will come back, reset the program, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw, news from the Nest, top of the hour. All right, let's go to Ray in Baltimore. Ray, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Like I already gave you my prediction for the fight tomorrow, so
Usyk,
no need to even get into that.
I'll ask you one question. Does it go the distance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you don't know what Fury gonna show up, and if Fury is allowed to dirty box, you know what I'm saying? Not dirty box like, you know, people might be hitting these say dirty box and think he's going to be dirty, but if he dirty boxes, he can win. But Usyk is too accomplished to play into that game. And, I think it's going to be closer than the first time, but if Tyson gets in trouble, he's going to get knocked out. The man's 36 years old. You know, time is flying, so we figure out how old these people are.
Yeah, but he jiggles more than I do. How's that sound?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's not what he used to be. Let's just put it that way.
Sure.
But, as far as the predictions, I really want to get to that Jets thing, but I don't have no time. It's just funny, man. But, Vinny, when it comes to Notre Dame tonight, Marcus Freeman just got the extension. And, you know, everybody is abuzz about him. So how much of him winning tonight and winning handily would it play as far as the impact and as far as recruiting and as far as, like, the brand of Notre Dame itself, even with the NIL? Do you think even in 2024-25, because you're more qualified to talk about this than any blogger I see on YouTube, where do you see the brand of Notre Dame going into the fold if they make a deep run? To me, Notre Dame is still the biggest brand in college football. Y'all have a happy holiday, fellas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Ray. There's Ray out there in Baltimore. Is the brand still the thing? coaches, players change, TV networks, but at the end of the day, it's Notre Dame football above all.
That's pretty true. I mean, it doesn't change that much. The thing that's changed is I mean, they haven't won a national championship since 1988. Brian Kelly got to the championship game, but he couldn't compete. You know, he left to go to LSU because he says they couldn't get the top recruits because of NIL money and stuff, which, you know, is kind of BS. But if Freeman's got to win the whole thing for their brand to really take off, you know, because right now, I mean, it's good, but can he win it? I mean, that's the thing. Can he win it? Can he get there and win the championship? I don't know if they're going to be good enough offensively to do that, Bob. I just don't know. You know, I mean, we couldn't throw it great, you know, when we won the national championship. But when Tony Rice had to, he made throws. I don't know that Leonard can do that. And we had some really good players. I don't know that they have the elite players. I mean, Bob, they finished like 10th, 12th in recruiting all the time, you know.
And they're 7-point favorites tonight. And when we reconvene here on the show Monday, if we're talking about Indiana winning, and we'll do our picks in about an hour or so, nobody's going to be stunned.
No, not at all. You know what I mean? Not at all.
Nolan McGraw, what's going on with you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Ray didn't have time to talk about it, but we certainly got to get to it. This whole Jets thing, Woody Johnson, you hearing about this?
Oh, with the video game.
Right. Vetoing a trade or a potential trade with the Broncos for Jerry Jeudy. Again, he ends up going to Cleveland, but vetoed the trade because he believed Jeudy's Madden rating was too low.
What?
And this has been...
Why was it too low? Let's worry about the video game. What the hell's Madden?
Yeah, go to EA Sports. What's going on?
Well, his kid is who he listens to, plays Madden all the time. And then how about the other one, too? Nolan, when in the locker room, Bob, mm-hmm. remember Mike White, the quarterback?
Oh, you know,
after one of the games.
Wasn't he NC State, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that?
So Woody and his family, they're standing in the locker room, and White throws his helmet down, you know, like pissed off because they lost. And Woody says, why are you throwing your helmet? You're effing awful anyhow.
Oh, got to love that leadership. By the way, Woody Johnson, one of the best names in the history of ownership.
And Bob, about that is, just the other day, Jets PR came out and said, that definitely happened. That was true.
The throwing of the helmet and you suck sort of
yes.
thing. Ah. But if memory serves... Go bring it back to the Orioles. I think the Angelos boys in the early Peter Angelos era were at the time called rotisserie baseball. Now it's fantasy. And I think they would give, you know, their opinion to Dad about, you know, Chris Sabo is one of my third basemen. And why is Leo guy? You know, that sort of thing.
Well, now, this is
Dan Snyder's buddies did the same thing.
Hey. Note to professionals, don't let your friends or kids tell you how to do a professional's job.
Right, but what do we say? People call in on a Monday after a tough loss, the hot takes are flying, and it's, oh, fire this person, trade for that person, sign this person, and we say, well, you can't run a team like it's Madden. That's not how the NFL works. Well, sure enough, it is. You can run a team like it's Madden.
And Woody Johnson's been overeating teas and crumpets and fish and chips for the last 3 years, whatever it is.
Now, Dan Snyder was like that. Eddie DeBartolo was not like that. Eddie DeBartolo, he had his entourage of dudes from Youngstown. They would come out, but it wasn't about who you draft and who you trading for. Never, ever. Not once did any of them ever ask me that, tell me that. Eddie would meet with me the day before the draft and say, who we drafting? You know, that was it. He had to have Mel's book in his hand. Who we drafting?
Steve Bisciotti, non-meddler.
Yeah.
Peter Angelos, meddler. There you go. And what was different between the two franchises over the course of 15 years? One was winning championships. One was signing, dudes who can, we can't... Jay Payton played for the Orioles for 3 years, and I don't think I remember one game. That's how bad things were.
You don't have your Jay Payton t-shirt?
No. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nest here from the Ravens and Steelers ahead of tomorrow's matchup, 4:30. Don't forget, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, brought to you by Reich's Birth of Pesaurus. We're going to be at Brew Brothers getting you ready for that with me and Ken Wyman. Start you off hour number one. And then Vinny, Tim Barbalace, Mike Preston, Cordell Woodland, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. It's a big game. Biggest game between the Ravens and Steelers this late in the season in a long, long time. And I'm starting to feel the anger towards Pittsburgh. If you're feeling it, share it with us.